Hi everybody, I'm Hannah Heath, author of The Terebinth Tree Chronicles and Skies of Dripping Gold, and you are watching Chat with Indie Author, and today we have Nate Philbrick, author of Adventure Fantasy, with us today. Hey Nate!
Hey Hannah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Doing good, thanks.
Awesome. All right, so for anybody who's not familiar, Chat with Indie Author is a series where once a month I have a new awesome indie author on the channel. I ask them some questions, and then there are viewer questions in this giant mug, and we have quite a few awesome ones today, so I'm going to ask Nate my questions, and then we're going to get to these at the end. Yeah, so that's about it. Nate, are you ready?
Good to go.
Awesome. All right, so first off, can you give us a brief description of your books?
Yeah, so I write low fantasy with a lot of adventure factored in. I'm the author of Where the Woods Grow Wild, which is a magic-based adventure fantasy centered around two friends who get separated and lost in a mysterious forest. And they must overcome a series of obstacles in order to find each other. Most recently, I've written Broken City of Crows, which I've been publishing on Wattpad. That's a much longer work about a slave trader's son who escapes with some of his slave friends and embarks on a quest to lead a band of these outcasts to freedom.
Awesome. And I just realized I forgot to mention, you are also a Phoenix Fiction writer.
Yes,
and you are the last Phoenix Fiction writer to have come on this channel, so it's not personal. I was waiting for you to finish up The Broken City of Crows before I had you on. Yeah, and we actually just are announcing today the Anti-Hero anthology, so you are also part of that as well, correct?
I am, yep.
Awesome. So everybody, you all need to keep an eye out for that, because it's going to be fun. I think we mentioned that on our website today, so that'll be linked below. All right, so outside of your writing, what is your day job?
I have three of them, actually, three part-time jobs. I supervise some online courses at a school. I do maintenance and janitorial work at the same school. And in the afternoons, I teach English as a second language at an academy here in town.
Wow. Okay. And you are in Spain, correct? So you're teaching to Spanish students?
Yep.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Which is why I'm recording this at like 8 in the morning to make up for the time difference.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, I volunteered for it, and then I was getting up this morning thinking, why did I volunteer for this? This is a terrible idea.
Life choice.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, three jobs, that's a lot. What does your writing schedule look like? How are you able to fit that in between all of your work?
I'll let you know when I find out. I can still stay pretty organized. I have my schedule written out, and I know what my hours are, so I can work in writing chunks around those. I wish I had more consistency, but for now, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I remember correctly, you make a habit of writing every day. Is that correct?
Sort of.
Sort
of. All right. I try. I should be able to. That's always happened.
Got it.
That's the idea.
Cool. So when you're writing, what does that process look like? What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of, I mean, I feel like we all know the answer to this, but are there any beverages that you drink as you're writing?
Yeah. I prefer, if possible, I prefer to work in a quiet environment. So my go-to choice would be no music, but if I want to get my creativity going, or if I have to block out some noise, I'll default to soundtracks. Anything on Zimmer, Gregson Williams, John Powell, and the list goes on. So those are my go-to playlists. Beverages, I am a coffee drinker. Every day, twice a day. I don't have an addiction problem.
No, of course not.
Colder weather, I also do tea, but that's more of a seasonal thing. So coffee's my main call.
Awesome. All right, so I have questions about Where the Woods Grow Wild. So the thing that always fascinates me about this book is that it is very funny, but it also deals with some kind of hard issues. I'm not sure if I can talk about it because of spoilers, but Martin loses something very important and struggles with that loss. And so you do a really good job of balancing the funny and the thoughtful. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to my process because this was almost 2 years ago. I don't remember ever having to make conscious efforts to keep a balance between those two specific aspects of the story. I think my focus was primarily on the lighthearted side, on the humor, and then the more darker aspects, if you will, kind of fit in on their own. I did try not to focus too much on the physical side of violence or the consequences of this event that we're not spoiling. But I don't remember having too much of a struggle with that aspect. I did, during the beta reading process, I asked my beta readers if they thought that my depiction of this handicap, if you will, was accurate. How it affected the character's emotions, how it affected his life habits, his routines. They were able to give me some really helpful feedback with that. But obviously it wasn't something I've ever experienced personally. So I did have to think outside of my own experience, outside of my comfort zone, and get the feedback of sensitivity readers, I guess you want to call them that. But yeah, I don't have a terribly specific answer for that question.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, and I did want to add, whoever your sort of sensitivity readers were, they did an awesome job. And so did you, because I thought that depiction of the thing we're not spoiling was done really well. And I was super impressed with that. So, yeah. And then this is a question that my 16-year-old brother keeps wanting me to badger you about. And that is, will there be a sequel? Because he really wants one. And if we're being honest, I do too. So...
I get asked that question by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Short answer is yes, there will be a sequel. At the end of this first book, I actually shared a preview chapter of the sequel. I don't remember if it's a prologue or chapter one, technically. But either way, that is canon. It's not going to change. And at some point in the future, I will finish the sequel. The thing is that for NaNoWriMo National Novel Writing Month in 2016, I wrote a large portion of the first draft of this sequel. And because of the circumstances of NaNoWriMo, and it was my first time participating, I really got burnt out. And even though I completed the 50,000 words, I didn't really like any of them, and I kind of lost my excitement for that particular story. I didn't feel like rewriting the whole thing from scratch either. So I put it on hold. As another note, Where the Woods Grow Wild was already a parenthesis in my writing of The Broken City of Crows, which I had started and then set aside because of several different reasons. So I bounced back and forth between those two projects, and my focus returned to The Broken City of Crows, which was where I was originally most involved, most passionate.
Okay.
So I don't have a specific plan for the sequel yet. I don't know if I'm going to actually publish a book or post it on Wattpad or on my blog somehow. I'll have to see. But yes, it is coming. I do have a lot of it done. And tell your brother that his patience.
Yes, he's going to be so excited, so yay. all right, so speaking of Wattpad, you've been really successful on there. Actually, I think, didn't you make it into the Watties? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Watties award list, whatever you want to call it. I got shortlisted about a week ago.
Yeah.
So I was flabbergasted and excited.
Yeah, that's so cool. So how long have you been on Wattpad, and what made you decide to start becoming a Wattpadder? Or what made you decide to start publishing on Wattpad?
Well, I joined in May of 2017, okay. So about a year and a few months ago. I'd heard of the website. I'd done some looking into it. I didn't really ever think about it seriously until going back to the sequel to Where the Woods Were Wild. After getting burnt out with that project, I didn't write anything for about 6 months. I just needed to take a break from that. So when I returned my attention to The Broken City of Crows, I knew that it was going to be a much longer project, and that if I didn't find some kind of accountability, I was bound to write another few chapters, then let it slide, and never really finish it. So I thought about Wattpad. I thought about posting there to have that accountability with readers, just to be able to stay on a schedule and regularly get sections done. So I decided to give it a try, and it just took off from there.
Cool. So The Broken City of Crows, you mentioned that you had been writing it for quite a while. So does that mean when you started on Wattpad, did you already have portions of it written or outlined or anything like that?
I did. Yeah. I had about 30,000 words written already. Beyond that, I had the entire story from beginning to end outlined, at least in my head. So I knew exactly how it ended. I knew all the steps to take. It was just a matter of executing it. But I did have those 30,000 words ready to go. So at the start, I was just kind of editing, tweaking a few things, and then posting. And that lasted me for about 2 months, maybe. Then after that, I was writing the content each week.
Oh, awesome. So you got a fairly large following fairly quickly, which I know obviously was mostly because the story is incredible, but did you do anything specific to gain that attention? How did you go about building your Wattpad following?
Well, I mean, as much as I appreciate the enthusiasm, I wouldn't consider my following that huge, because there are books on there, phenomenal stories with millions of readers. I haven't achieved that status yet. I did do a lot of research into building a platform, how to connect with other readers, how to draw new readers in. And they give a lot of advice to interact on the website, to read other people's work, to comment, like typical feedback. But I didn't actually do any of that because I didn't want to invest the time. Mm-hmm. And because I just couldn't really find anything at that time on Wattpad that grabbed my interest enough to honestly get involved. And I didn't want to just try to fish for community, right, that aspect. So I think most of my initial readership was due to Twitter and the following that I already had on there, bringing new readers in. And then from there, most of it was just word of mouth. People would see feedback on Twitter or on the site itself, and they would join and try, and started snowballing a little bit.
Very cool. So this is something that I've always kind of marveled at with this story, is I always see on Twitter, you like giving updates on, you know, I'm posting this chapter now, or I'm going to post it next week. And that always vaguely stressed me out, because I thought I wouldn't be able to stick to this schedule. How were you able to kind of fairly consistently, I know that there were times when you lapsed, but it was still like, it was better than anything that I would have been able to pull off. So how did you stick to that posting schedule?
It's hard. It's hard to stick to any sort of upload schedule. I started out doing, well, because I had this section written previously, I started out doing 2-chapter uploads every week, more or less. When I started writing new content, I eased back to 1 chapter a week, and I more or less was able to follow that schedule consistently throughout the next year until it was finished. It's tough, though. And there were times that I had to keep pushing back chapters and apologizing and promising that I'd have it up the next day. But I think one of the main methods that kept me productive was the feedback and the interaction with the readers. The community, at least in my corner, was so extremely positive and encouraging, and not pressuring me, but definitely, you know, badgering me to keep posting content. So whenever I didn't feel like writing, or whenever I thought I should take a break for a few weeks, it was the readers who kept bringing me back, especially during like the middle section where I'm stuck between the beginning and the end and work never finishes. That's what kept me. Cool. But towards the end, it was rough. There was a stretch where I didn't post anything for about a month, but we got it done.
Nice. So do you have any tips for authors who want to get into using Wattpad, or maybe are using Wattpad but haven't been able to get much out of it?
Yeah, I'm going to be really hypocritical and say post regularly.
Nice.
Good segue. No, but in all seriousness, having a regular upload schedule, even if you can't follow it religiously, it really helps you stay on top of your story. Also, outlining. If you're not a rigid outliner already, this might be the time to give it a try. At least thinking ahead, having a clear goal of where your next chapter is going, what you need to do to get there, and especially how your story is going to end. Because one of the drawbacks of Wattpad is that you can't edit as you go without, you know, at best confusing your readers, and at worst having a lot of continuity problems. So having a clear ending in mind and taking steps to build towards that, I think, is the most practical tip I can give for completing a good story. In terms of getting more readership, you can go the route of becoming very active in the Wattpad community if that's what you enjoy doing. I didn't, so I chose to kind of ignore that. If you have social media platforms, other places, definitely make the most of those. Share your links, share your chapters, get people involved, and just build as much hype as you can without being spammy or annoying, which I tried not to be. Sometimes I worried a little about that.
Got it. Now, is Broken City of Crows still up on Wattpad?
It is.
It is. Okay.
Originally, I was going to take it down on October 1st as the next step in my process of publishing it in paperback and ebook. However, with the novelty of the shortlist, which I wasn't expecting at all, I've postponed that takedown date indefinitely. Kind of waiting to see what pans out. I'm not obviously not expecting by any means to win, but if that were to happen, I think it would be fairly rude to take it down the next day.
That's a good point.
Until the winners are announced, it's just going to stay up there and down.
Cool. So, a couple questions about that. How are the winners decided? Is there anything that your fans can be doing to kind of like boost your chances of that?
All I know is that winners are selected by a Wattpad team. Okay. They've got their staff working through this. I know that they, out of the, I believe it was about 150,000 entries, they selected about 780 for the long list, and then 260 for the short list. So they've been shortening the selection there. I don't know what process they, or what factors they consider most. A large variety of types and genres of stories. So unfortunately, it's not something that readers can go influence. Otherwise, we'd storm the castle.
Right. Got it. All right, so everybody keep an eye on like Nate's Twitter stream to see what happens with that, because I'm excited. It's been fun to see, like, oh, you had to send in a synopsis, and then you were long-listed and short-listed, so it's been fun to see that unroll. All right, so Broken City of Crows, I have actually not read because I've been waiting for you to release it as a paperback because I want to put it on my shelf next to Where the Woods Grow Wild. I'm just saying that so that people know I'm not going to be spoiling anything in this segment. I have heard, though, that this story is quite a bit darker than what you usually write. What made you decide to go that route?
I would flip that, and I would say that Where the Woods Grow Wild is a lot more lighthearted than what I would usually write. I mean, it's kind of hard to gauge because Where the Woods Grow Wild was my debut, and it was kind of sandwiched in between the writing process for Crows. So it's like a 50-50. I don't know which one I'll end up leaning towards the most. But I think for sure the tone and the mood of the Broken City of the Crows feels more natural to me. There's still plenty of humor in it, as readers will see down the road. But you're right, it deals with more serious issues, and it's a lot more grim.
Yeah, so I keep seeing like people on Twitter talking about how the story made them cry, so it seems like it's a very emotional story. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, but also a little bit scared. We'll see how it goes.
I'm not responsible for any emotional damage.
All right, very good. I'll try not to blame you. So what do you think made the story resonate with so many people? Were there any specific things that you were doing to try and make it emotionally engaging?
Yes. I appreciate stories that have a very strong emotional factor of any sort, whether that's humor or a bittersweet ending or little steps along the way. When I read, that's something that I look for. So when I write, I definitely try to insert that into my work as well. I think a lot of readers resonate with the characters. Where the Woods Grow Wild was fairly plot-driven, and I think some of its flaws were the characters. Some of them weren't as developed or didn't have as clear objectives as they could have. But for The Broken City of Crows, I really emphasized character almost more so than plot. The story covers a long period of time, so readers were able to see these characters change and grow as people more than just devices within a plot. So I think that helped establish a connection between the story and the readers. And I mean, aside from that, I love some specific elements of emotions, as you were saying, but I can't say what they are.
Okay.
But I do think the characters are a chief reason why so many readers were able to appreciate and connect with the story.
Got it. All right. So I know a viewer asked questions about character creation, so I'm going to wait and ask you that in a little bit. And just move into some general questions. And the first one being, what aspect of indie publishing has been the most challenging for you?
Marketing.
Yes.
No doubt. I'm very introverted and very shy in certain circumstances. So it's really difficult for me to put myself out there and ask for attention of any kind, but especially it involves people giving me money. So my tendency is to just not even try. Lately, I've been making more of an effort to get out of my comfort zone. Marketing is definitely the most challenging aspect.
Cool. So in this attempt to get out of your comfort zone, have you found any tools to kind of help you market even while you're introverted? Because I know a lot of authors are introverted and that seems to be a huge struggle. So have you found any tips that you can share with us?
I think confidence in my own work is going to be one of the big keys that makes marketing for Crows a lot more natural than it was for Where the Woods Grow Wild. I feel like I gained a lot more experience as a writer. I do feel like Crows is going to be a much better story across the board than Woods was as a debut. So because I feel more confident in the story, I feel like, okay, I'll be more confident in putting it out there and asking people to take a look, sharing that it exists. I've also been able to build a wider platform, both online and in real life, I guess you could say. So I'll have a bigger launching pad to some degree. And a lot of caffeine and sugar.
Got it. That sounds vaguely unhealthy, that last part, but whatever works. All right. Can you list some indie authors that you enjoy or that have inspired you?
Yeah. I don't remember if the first indie author I read was Kyle Schultz or you, actually.
Let's just go with it was me.
I think it was. I think The Skies of Dripping Gold was the first indie story that I read, or at least the first that I like bought and really enjoyed genuinely as a story. And then I met Kyle Schultz shortly after on Twitter and started reading his Beaumont and Beasley series, which I am absurdly far behind on. I haven't even finished the second book of the main series.
Okay. It's really good. You'll like it.
I'm looking forward to getting back into it. Recently, I read a short story by Katie Ivanrest, Paint the Inkling. And I was really impressed by that. And obviously, the members of the Phoenix Fiction Writing Team. Most recently, Beth Wangler with her Child of the Cates. I'm loving that story so much. And I'm almost done. So it's going to be on my list of favorites.
Yes, that book is incredible. I love that one. Awesome. All right, so what are your future plans for publication? Are you going to go full-on indie, traditional publishing, continuing Wattpad? What's up with that?
My plan for now is to stay on the indie track. I'm a control freak, and I want to have my hands on everything. So that's my plan. Depending on the outcome of the Watties, that might on the table for some discussion.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to say more than that, or the mob will come after me.
All right.
But barring any unexpected victories, indie publishing is my plan for the Broken City of Prose and any future stories.
Okay, very cool. All right, so now we can get into fewer questions, and we had a lot of really cool ones, so. Let's see. First one's by Penny Writer on Twitter, and she asks, what inspired you to write The Broken City of Crows, and what made you want to start writing in the first place?
I'll answer the second part first, because that's the easier one. I started writing stories seriously when I was probably 11 or 12, so a little bit older than a lot of writers I know. But at the time, I didn't want to be an author. I wanted to make film. Wanted to study film, be a movie director. So I would have all these story ideas that were obviously going to be blockbuster hits and whatnot. So I would write them down in novel form so that I wouldn't forget them, I guess.
Oh.
As an 11-year-old, you're always thinking ahead, staying on top of things. So that lasted until I left for college. And at that point, I realized that to be a successful mainstream film director needed a lot more money than I had. So I took the poor man's route and became an English major. And at that point, I loved writing so much that I just stuck with it as a career.
Awesome. And then her other part, I already forgot. What inspired you to write The Broken City of Crows?
Okay. I'm going to say I don't remember, and I'm sorry, but Broken City of Crows, despite going up on Wattpad about a few months ago, I actually started developing the idea a long time ago. I believe it was 2010 or 2011, where I came up with the protagonist, Amos, and the character of Avara. Those were the two original characters that I started out. And it's obviously changed a lot since those days, but I don't remember where I got my original idea or what even was. But it's stuck, it's developed for so long that it just feels like it's always been there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's see. Another question. Oh, okay, here's the character question from Beth Wangler. She asks, what are your tips for building lovable characters? And then there's another question, which is, if you had to trade places with one of your characters, who would it be and why?
I think the characters that resonate the most with readers in The Broken City of Crows are the ones who have very distinct and fun personalities. I've got some characters that have a lot of humor, a lot of not just comic relief, but very uplifting spirits. I've got other characters who are the complete opposite. So I try to keep my major characters as different from each other as possible. Also, having that end in mind and knowing at every step where these characters are going and what their end state is going to be helps me build them along the way. So I don't really have to struggle that much with how should they be growing, what choices should they be making. There have been a few characters who I'm going to rewrite completely during revision, just one or two, because I really struggled with them throughout the first draft process. But for the most part, I think those characters with really vivid personalities stood out the most among the readers.
Very cool. Oh, and then her other question is, if you had to trade places with one of your characters, who would it be and why? And I'm always, as an author, terrified of getting this question, because I think, I don't want to be in any of my books. That would be horrible.
Well, the thing is, I'm extremely kind to my characters, and I put them in very comfortable situations, so any of them would really do. And that's not at all true. It's hard to choose one. If I were being utterly selfish, I would put myself in some of the antagonists' shoes. No spoilers, no names, but they have the easiest lives by far. Sort of. So for the sake of comfort and wealth and having a nice lifestyle, I'll go with that.
All right, that's only a little bit scary, so we'll move on from that one. Next question's from Beth, or E.B. Dawson, and she asks, what unique tropes do you include in your stories, and what would you like to see more of in other fiction?
I'm going to interpret unique tropes as genre tropes that I particularly enjoy. And I made a tweet about this the other day, just a list of the tropes that I love and that I probably always include. Some of my work with fantasy specifically, I've obviously forests where the Woods for a Wild is set entirely in one forest. I just love that type of environment, the opportunities and forests for storytelling. I shy away from magic in general. Broken City of Crows actually has no actual magic. It does have fantasy elements, but I decided not to include magic specifically, just because it's my preference, both as a writer and a reader, to not go heavy on the magic. I do really love including made-up creatures. I think that's one of my go-to playing cards for the fantasy genre, creating creatures from my own imagination or drawing from different cultures' mythologies. And they usually play a pretty significant role in story. As an example, the Trunders from Where the Woods Were Wild and Broken City of Crows, you'll see quite a few more that I won't give away.
Awesome. Cool. So of the tropes you'd like to see more of in fiction, are the made-up creatures on that list?
Definitely, yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. Any time in film or TV that there are monsters or creatures, that's what I connect with right away.
Awesome. All right. We have two more questions. Oh, this one's from Deborah Kelty. Where do you like to get writing inspiration?
I drink a lot of coffee. That's just a recurring theme.
Yeah. So your coffee pot is your inspiration?
Yeah, my muse. I do think I've learned not to rely on inspiration. Just to be able to develop the habit of sitting down, getting work done, whether I feel like it or not. However, I will say that I tried to have one element of every scene or chapter that I'm really looking forward to writing. That helps me work in all the boring parts, quote unquote, to be able to get to that one aspect, whether it's a bit of dialogue or an action sequence or a character moment. Those little moments in each scene or each chapter, I think they give me the will to keep working when my coffee pot is dry.
Nice. And I've been trying to find a way to like shoehorn this into the conversation, so I'm just going to see if I can get you to go there. If not, then I'll just throw it in. Are there any like traditionally published authors that you draw inspiration from?
Yeah, my go-to answer is Lloyd Alexander. Pretty in Chronicles and a lot of other stories. Those were the first or some of the earliest stories that my parents read to me. I think they were my introduction to the fantasy genre. Okay. And they're some of the few books that I reread regularly. Usually I just read a book once. These I keep going back to. He has so much wisdom and quality storytelling in relatively short books.
Yeah.
So especially he has a way of infusing wisdom into a story without turning any of the characters into objectless. Mm-hmm. That's something that I really tried to emulate, specifically with The Broken City of Crows. I have received some response from readers noting that specifically, so I believe to some degree I've accomplished that. Other influences would be big names from the fantasy genre. Patrick Rothfuss, his ability to create very long stories focused on a character's growth. That's something that I always appreciated. They'll have to mention the world building of Tolkien. It'd be a sin not to mention that. And also C.S. Lewis, I grew up with. Patrick Ness, a few of his works, the emotion he's able to evoke. I think those would be some of the traditional names that I mentioned.
Got it. All right. So I'm just happy that you mentioned Lloyd Alexander because he's kind of an underrated author who's amazing. And he was also kind of the author that I read that made me think, oh, I want to write fantasy now because he's incredible. So awesome. We have one more. Last question. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. From S.M. Metzler, what tools / programs / techniques do you recommend for designing cover arts?
Okay. What do I use? For software, I design my covers with Clip Studio Paint, which is it's a program developed more so for digital painting than for photo manipulation, but since I don't rely on manipulation, it works just fine for me. I just use a very basic Wacom tablet, cheapest I could find online, and that's about it. The cover you've got on the shelf there is by far the worst I've ever designed.
It's still cool though, so I feel like that's saying something about your artist skills.
That was my first ever attempt at designing a cover myself. I've learned so much in the 2 years since. I've actually got a cover reveal for the first book of The Broken City of Crows coming up in the next few months, and really excited to redeem myself.
Nate, I don't think anybody ever looks at your covers and thinks, oh, that's so ugly. So I think okay. Aside from you, you are overly critical of your artistic skills.
Yeah, other than that, for specific techniques, I like to work with different types of layers, overlay, multiply, soft light, screen, all these different technical Photoshop type layers. Get some really interesting visual effects. I don't tend to work with photo manipulation or stock model photography just because that's not my taste. I prefer to stick with symbolism, shapes, silhouettes, working the typography into the design. So I tend to be on the simple yet elegant side, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm really excited for you to officially release the cover. For the Broken City of Crows, because I've gotten to see parts of it, and it's really, really awesome. So
I'm excited too.
Yeah. Yay. So speaking of which, where can we find you online so that people can kind of follow you and wait to see all of the cool stuff that you're going to be announcing about Broken City of Crows?
The best place to find me is on my website at natehilbrecht.com, Hilbrecht with a PH. From there, you can find my social media links and relevant information about books and upcoming releases. You can also subscribe to my newsletter, which is where I most regularly share updates, announcements, and progress. So that would be the place to start.
Yes. And just shout out to your newsletter. It's incredible. It's like my absolute favorite newsletter. So it's like, it's very entertaining, but also informative at the same time, which is hard to pull off. So yeah. So that's going to be linked below, everybody. So be sure to click on all those links, follow him everywhere, because he's always fun to follow. Say hello to him online. Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts or like plugs you want to mention or anything like that?
I'm good.
Awesome. All right. So if you like this video, give it a thumbs up on YouTube, review it on iTunes, share it online, leave a comment below, all that good stuff. Thank you for watching or listening. We really appreciate it. And I will see you next month. Bye.